clip was a brown bear. The second bear was definitely a black bear.
A Haines bear killed on nationwide television sparks complaints and an investigation, but no charges. And more local artwork goes up in the capital city. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next.
Greg Remsburg's 10-year-old son, Brandon, has just seen a grizzly bear.
He's right in our deal.
Calls and emails came in from all over the country after television viewers tuned into the Discovery Channel's Gold Rush Alaska series and watched as one of the reality show miners shot and killed a black bear outside of Haines.
It's the first bear that's come into camp in broad daylight. And it's just yards from where they are eating breakfast. Their safety is now under threat.
Ryan Scott, Fish and Game Area Management biologist for the region, said there was enough concern to begin an investigation on the legality of the shooting.
It started as questions about the harvest of a bear that was depicted on the TV show, the Gold Rush show. I mean, everything kind of ran the gamut from people who didn't agree with hunting or harvesting animals to they just had questions about what they were seeing on the show and the process in taking the animal. And when we started to get questions, we looked into the harvest and, got a better sense of what had happened.
One episode of the show, filmed last summer at Porcupine Creek, 40 miles outside of Haines, showed a black bear wandering into the makeshift mining camp to scavenge unattended graham crackers, followed by a warning shot by a fumbling gunman.
Where'd he go? Did he go up?
What's he doing in here?
There he is, right there, coming right around. Here, I'm going to scare him just a second. Oh, what are you kidding? Man, my goodness, messed up.
A later episode tells the story of one of the characters as he kills a different bear, saying, quote, that bear's not going to get in between my son and I.
So Trooper Merritt and I both reviewed the harvest information, the sealing cert, and made sure that all the documents were the individual taking the bear had everything they needed.
The issue that was brought to light with us was people thought the bear had been illegally shot.
Rick Merritt is the state wildlife trooper in Haines.
Possibly two reasons. One, because, some folks took it as a defense of life and property shooting. And then the other issue with him being a non-resident from Oregon, did he have the correct license and tags?
They together determined that although the killing was not in defense of life or property, as the show portrayed, the hunter did possess the proper paperwork and license to make it a legal bear harvest.
What it came down to is the individual had the correct non-resident hunting license as well as a tag for a black bear. The individual filled it the day after, so everything had been legal up to that point.
But one inconsistency led some viewers to make that first phone call. In a recent letter to lead miner Todd Hoffman, geologist Bill Cole of the Alaska Department of Natural Resources wrote that the bear that entered camp shortly before the shooting was a brown bear, and the bear that was shot was a black bear. Again, Trooper Merritt.
There were two separate bears. The first bear in that first clip was a brown bear. The second bear was definitely a black bear. And they were in two complete separate areas. So a lot of that, what people had observed from watching the TV show, I think they perceived and thought it was the same bear.
Furthermore, DNR went on to point out that the bear that entered camp was drawn in by food that had been left out irresponsibly by the crew.
After watching the episode, one clip had shown a brown bear, basically walk through camp and kind of walk up this hillside, and they kind of portrayed it as a nuisance bear or, a safety issue for camp. And then another clip soon after that showed them stalking this black bear, shooting the black bear, and then the individual goes over, looks at the black bear, picks it up.
Well, sometimes I'm thinking that this is the stupidest thing I've ever done, taking my family up to where a grizzly bear could grab my 2-year-old and walk off into the woods.
The Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Fish and Game agreed that the circumstances laid out in the show did not warrant the taking of the bear out of defense or protection and urged the miners to keep a cleaner camp.
Dude, what are you doing?
Dumping the grease.
Dude, bears love grease probably more than anything else. You know, that's the number one thing a bear likes. They can smell it for about 2 miles.
Yeah, why not?
He just pours the grease right here on the ground, about 30 feet from our semi-truck.
Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe says since the mining camp is not located within the Haines town site, the newly adopted borough ordinance that reprimands people who are negligent with bear attractants does not apply. A later episode follows the would-be miners as they build a 20-foot-tall food cache to keep their food out of reach from bears.
Besides looking for gold, there's still work to be done making the camp safe. A close encounter with a bear has made the miners reconsider where they store their food.
There's your camp, robber fellers. That's why we're building the cache.
The Discovery Channel show documents the actions of a group of unemployed Oregonians who attempt to strike it rich by setting up a gold mine on Porcupine Creek. Some viewers of the program expressed outrage over the bear incident, saying the sequence of events was set up to make the show more dramatic. One viewer said the bear paid its life for ratings. Fish and Game's Ryan Scott.
I certainly appreciate people asking the questions, you know, what was going on here, and, you know, is this okay, and that's great, you know. I think that it shows that people do care and are paying attention, and, you know, it helps kind of keep everybody on the same playing ground, or level ground, I guess.
On the other hand, some fans didn't see the issue with illegal bear harvest, saying the only reason why it was a big deal is because it was on TV. Trooper Rick Merritt.
You would have to think one would be a lot more careful, you know, if they are actually being videotaped. And we also have to take into consideration it is a TV show. So they have to do things to capture the audience's attention.
The investigation into the bear killing is now closed. It never appeared in court and no charges were issued since the hunter had a proper license, tag, and shot the bear in season. The rule that would have landed the miner hunter in hot water for harvesting a bear was mistakenly omitted from the mining permit, added DNR in their letter to Hoffman. State land use permits usually stipulate that mining camps are not to be used for recreational hunting, but by oversight, that was not included in the permit for the TV show Miners. The letter indicated that stipulation will be included in any 2011 permit. So we'll talk with state bear experts, says Trooper Merritt.
After the season was over, I was up there on a patrol, and they had done a good job cleaning it up as they left. I think this coming up year, we may spend a little more time with them and go over, you know, how to store garbage and that type of thing.
In the meantime, the state asked the group to be more careful in their camp management practices in the coming mining season and act with more restraint with regard to wildlife. Generally, to live by the words that actually appear in the TV show on a bumper sticker that reads, "Keep Alaska's bears wild. Handle your garbage responsibly." In the nook of a small library in downtown Juneau, kids and grown-ups are staring sweetly at a new mosaic with a familiar name on the bottom of it.
The kids are loving it.
The kids are really loving it. And actually, adults are going on and check it out if you haven't yourself. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, you can go into school.
Because they're used to that. We've gotten pretty good reviews on it.
On the wall of the Harbor Elementary School's library, located in the capital city, there hangs a huge mural by the Svensons from Haines.
It's in a sort of a convoluted area with angles and corners, which is something that we hadn't done before.
John Svensson and his wife Sharon, both artists in Haines, but formerly of Juneau, completed the glass and wood mural at their home studio after their idea was selected to adorn the new room in the school.
And it's got ravens and critters, herons and crabs and things that kids would like. Our purpose is to entertain the kids with something that's really colorful and a lot happening in it.
John says the mosaic was cut down from large sheets of glass, estimating that more than 8,000 pieces, each one snipped to fit, ground down by hand for safety from curious little fingers, and glued on over a three-month period.
And it's just in the amount of material in it is pretty awesome.
So it's actually got a big tree in it, and then lots of branches and leaves from off on the tree, and then it also has ravens sitting in the trees, ravens on the ground, ravens flying in the background way far away in the sky, and it has a big sun and a blue sky, and it also has a water line below the tree. There's the beach and a water line so that there's a harbor seal.
Which is the mascot.
But the mural that hangs in six pieces in front of the students is unlike most of the work the well-experienced artists normally do. They agree.
I usually don't work with Sharon on mosaics, but we've collaborated on this one. It was one of those things where it just went a lot faster, and I don't know.
Would have taken me a year. About John.
This isn't their first elementary school piece of art. There's also one in the Haynes School. The Juno Project was funded by State Arts Program 1% for the Arts, and the Svensons was one of the many proposals that the committee had to choose from. The theme of the library is ravens, which made the Svensons particularly noticeable to decision makers.
The whole library has ravens. And so, and outside the library, there's going to be some raven sculptures.
I've seen Sharon's raven piece previously, too, so they knew that you do ravens well.
Skagway Panthers basketball was fully victorious over Angoon Thursday night. The girls beat the Eagles in Angoon 50-17, followed by a win by the Skagway boys on Angoon's court 43-27. KHNS will have coverage of the final conference games of the season early in the week. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.